Welcome back to the Coach Cardozo Show. Mm-hmm. Very excited today. I have wellness advocate, day trader, and we're going to go right into it. He does a lot more, but we'll dive into that as we get into the interview. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Christian. Thanks for being here. Appreciate this, man.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for allowing me to be here. I think just being able to like see this from like your inception, from like a thought, and then being able to like see it in the physical form, to now finally kind of it happening with me on it, man. This is
it's long amazing.
Awaited.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Long awaited for sure.
Yeah, we talked about this prior to the podcast launching.
For real.
Which you know, you kind of encouraged me. Yes, you could definitely do it, and I appreciate that.
For real.
You know, so. But I typically met you through, I'm here usually every Sunday, doing cryotherapy, wellness. Talk about why that's important. I love it. I'm addicted to doing the cryotherapy, but you know, you could tell me more about why it's important.
Why it's, at least for me, I mean, kind of getting into my journey on why I feel it's important to me and why I feel like other people should do it. And just like seeing your progression with adding cryo into your life and our conversations that how much it affected you. But I mean, I first heard about it from LeBron James and like Floyd Mayweather, like when I was back in university in like 2017. And I've always been doing like cold plunges and like ice baths and stuff like that. So when I saw cryo, it was like super cool. I'm like, what is this like nitrogen vapor? Or at the time, I didn't know what it was. I was like, what is this cool smoke and people getting cold and stuff like that? It just seemed like this is what the wealthy, you know, like the wealthy people would do. So I'm like, all right, cool. Let me just put myself in that category. And I ended up just trying it, very similar to like a cold plunge or an ice bath, but instead of it being like a wet kind of cold, it's like a dry kind of cold. So for me, I just loved it. Did it for 3 minutes. The third time I did the whole body machine, the pain in my lower back just completely went away because I was playing basketball a lot in university at the time. And I just became hooked after that. I think the owner, one of the co-owners, Kelly, owned by Jack and Kelly, a father and daughter who own the business, I think I first experienced it in maybe December or January, and then a couple months after that, I started working here in May 2018, and then I've been here ever since then, man. So being able to really have it in my life and have other people kind of come on in like yourself, I remember when you first experienced it, it was just amazing. I was like, man, we got to keep it going just so you can really boost the recovery, feel a lot more energized, feel a lot better about yourself, but really just pain and inflammation being the main things, you know? Once we have less pain, less inflammation, I feel like physically we can just like really become our best selves, you know, physically, and then what that does mentally and then what that does spiritually. I feel like, you know, everything's just like endless after that. So that was definitely the purpose.
That's nice. I drove by here. I mean, I had heard about cryotherapy.
Yeah.
And I was probably 3 years ago or something. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do that like a bucket list kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I came in. It's cryotherapy in West Roxbury.
Right.
Came in and I'm hooked.
Mm-hmm.
I do it at least once a week.
Yeah, minimum.
Because, yeah, at least once a week. So that's awesome. You also talked about that support. You also tell me about the sauna.
Yeah.
Tell me about that, how that's important for recovery.
The infrared sauna. So I remember we didn't have that to begin with. I know Jack was very just like strict about just it being like a cold kind of facility. And I think with time, I think he just saw how much of the industry or the health and wellness space online was very introducing like cold plunges that you see a lot now. And then like the contrast therapy, the heat and the cold, and kind of like combining the two to really kind of maximize those optimal effects. So I feel like with that happening, he then added that, I want to say in July of maybe 2020. Yeah, July 2022. So it's been here for a little bit over a year. And then just being able to add that with the infrared sauna, it's a little bit different than like a traditional sauna. I feel as if in my experience, at least from a lot of people that I experienced that come on in, it's a lot more intense. Obviously, because it's a smaller surface area. But besides that, it's just like a really, really cool thing to really help bring down like any pain and inflammation kind of going on within the body, just to really help also bring down the pain and inflammation, but in a different way than what a cold plunge would do. You know what I mean? So it's intense. If you can handle the heat, then definitely recommend doing it. But for a lot of people, they go in for like 25 minutes is enough. I like to do at least like 35 minutes, and I like to do it for at least twice a week.
Nice. There's other wellness stuff that you do here for like runners, some compression, leg compression things.
Exactly. Yeah. Get into that a little bit. The Normatec.
Yeah. Let me hear about that.
Yeah. So with the Normatec, I've used that machine when I was in university back in 2000 and what, 16? So that really is like a compression-based kind of therapy. Kind of looks like space boots a little bit. So you pretty much put your legs into like these boots, and then it really compresses the muscles and then decompresses the muscles to help out with like any soreness and any stiffness. As the kind of, once that happens with the compression, then that's when the blood flow and circulation starts to happen within the body. Very similar to like a cold plunge or infrared sauna, but instead of like a temperature-based kind of thing, it's more of like a compression-based kind of thing. So that's probably one of the machines that I use the most, without a doubt, for sure.
Well, you're pretty full up for a young guy.
Yeah, I mean, man.
You know, you do this. You also, you're a day trader.
Yes.
I mean, how'd you get into that? And what, I mean, you're one of the success stories from day trading, because you started doing about, I don't know, 4 years ago or something, or 5 years ago. But
exactly, yeah. So December 2019 is when I first started. I think at the time, man, I was just like, man, what are some ways to like make online money, you know? Because it was very much of like a hot thing. For me, I just had no intention on really doing like, you know, going to university for 4 years and, you know, getting like some job and stuff like that. Not to knock that kind of lifestyle. That just wasn't really for me at the time. And it still isn't for me, thankfully. So I think being able to see that, and I was like, all right, what are some ways that I can make money online? And then I saw like many different things. Drop shipping was like a big thing at the time. And I know a lot of my peers within the trading space dove into that space. But for me, I saw trading. My cousin, I believe the oldest cousin out of like all of our cousins, because we're all pretty close in age, he just talked about his success in Bitcoin and all the things that he was doing. He was like, oh, I'm going to buy a house off of Bitcoin, or like maybe get a Tesla off of Bitcoin, some crazy shit. And I was like, all right, cool. And then I think that really planted the seed for me to like get into the trading space. And the trading space is like so many different niches and so many different things you can do within it. But that, just trading itself and like stocks and all that stuff, foreign exchange, crypto, all that really started with him. And then I dove into it. I, you know, started to really understand stocks, and then I understood foreign exchange. And that's what I mainly trade right now. Some commodities as well, like gold, and then like oil and stuff like that. I don't touch any indices and stuff like that. I know that's a popular thing, but I stay away from those. But mainly foreign exchange. So that's what I've been doing since then. And it's been one hell of a journey, man, to say the least.
Nice. Yeah. So everybody knows I'm new to this. So I sort of jumped from cryotherapy right into trading. But there's other things about cryotherapy that people use for skin and so on. I know ladies that come in here do that. So
exactly. You kind of go into that a little bit. So yeah. I feel like with the cryo, for like the cosmetic effects of it, we have the cryofacial. So we like to use that just on the face a little bit, about like 7 to 8 minutes on the front of the face. So it isn't something that's like intense in terms of cosmetic effects. You know, it definitely takes a lot of consistency to really see those cosmetic effects take place. But one thing I will say that you do experience the first time is that your skin starts to feel a lot tighter a little bit, kind of like a Botox sensation. And the collagen gets stimulated within the face, because as we age, the collagen levels start to really kind of decrease and deplete. So it really kind of like puts that back into the system a little bit within the face, and kind of just makes the skin a little bit tighter. And then the more you start to do it, at least for me, I get like some razor bumps sometimes when I shave, unfortunately. So I like to like do that just to really like bring down like the inflammation. And then like any dark circles underneath my eyes and stuff like that, if I just want like a nice little glow, get the blood flow to the surface of my skin, then usually I'll do like a cryofacial to really kind of enhance that. But that's some cosmetic effects of it for sure. But mainly I always like to tell people, like, you know, we have people that, other guy just called in. He said like, oh, can you like remove my double chin? I'm like, no, that's not I'm like, that's not going to work, guy. Like, you just probably got to have some better eating habits. So I do like to just put things a little bit into more perspective and be realistic, because it's like, I have no desire to, you know, promote something like that. And then obviously financially, you know, have them pay for something like that only just to be let down in the end. You know what I mean? That's just a bad transaction for me. So I usually like to just be straight up about it. That's not what's going to happen. But any pending information you got, come on down. And the rest is just an added benefit. Yeah. So,
yeah. We have this conversation all the time. I love it. Because we go, you know, I just went from one subject to the next.
Yeah.
But that's what we do when we speak to each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talk about a lot about growth. You talk about human labs. And I think he had mentioned something about the importance of cold exposure and cryo stuff. And I remember you tell me a little bit about that. So I don't know if you want to go a little bit into that.
I remember I had first heard about it, and it's very much like a viral clip now, but I think it was doing it. It was, I believe it was a Scandinavian woman who's a scientist that kind of illustrated or conceived this whole entire concept of being able to do at least 12 minutes of cold exposure per week, which that adequates to about doing the whole body, cryotherapy, whole body machine at least 3 times a week. And then the infrared sauna, 57 minutes of heat exposure per week, which is about doing the infrared sauna twice per week for me. So that's kind of like something that I've seen online. I've stuck with that regimen for almost like 5-6 months now and seen a lot of great benefit. And then sometimes I'll stray away from it and then, you know, still feel the benefits as well. So I think it's all very much, it's not like a one size fits all kind of thing. I feel as if you just got to see if it fits you, and if it doesn't, then readjust the plan and then figure out what works for you. You know what I mean? Because my anatomy is very different than any other body's, you know, any other person's anatomy as well. So I think that's just, you have to be your own scientist. And I think for me, throughout that journey of following other people's protocols, I was able to really develop my own as well.
Okay. So with the cryo, do you go, I heard of people that go back from heat to cold, or do you do that? Or is that?
Yeah. Like the contrast therapy a little bit.
Is that what it's called? I have no
exactly,
idea.
Exactly. Yeah. Coming from, like, I think you see online a lot, especially, you know, like the Huberman kind of community a little bit. You know, really jump into like the cold plunge, do it for 3 minutes, jump into the heat. And then I think, I don't know how many times they kind of, you know, go back and forth between those two, but it definitely is something that's very, very popular nowadays. I really haven't seen too many people do it with cryo. I've done it before. I know Jack probably doesn't advertise, you know, people doing it just because it's, you're doing cryo and then hopping in the sauna. He kind of says, or states in his experience, that it really depletes the benefits of doing cryo just by hopping in the sauna. But, you know, again, for me, I just like to be my own scientist and see if that's true and see if that's evident for my body and my anatomy. And sometimes I felt a benefit. Sometimes I didn't, you know. But I think overall, sometimes I like to do it when I'm, like, in need of, like, a good dopamine kind of rush or, like, a good kind of, like, physical reset for sure. If I'm just, like, feeling in the dumps or just not all the way there or not all the way connected internally, I like to do something intense like that to just, like, really reset it. But, however, I will say I always like to do cold after. I'll definitely do the heat first and then do cold after just to really kind of like keep things tight, bring down that pain and inflammation and really just like, you know, feel a lot more energized and ready to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
For a lot of the conversations I have with you also, do you ever go do cryo to get you out of your comfort zone or maybe, you know, or is that more of a health benefits? Because you said something about, you tapped on the spiritual or, you know, which you talk a lot about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think I mainly do it mainly because of the health benefits. I think for me, I've always done cold plunges and stuff like that in university, so I've never kind of shied away from it. I was like definitely maybe one of the only ones like after practice late night for sure doing like a cold plunge because I've always loved longevity. I've always loved if I feel as if I can be on this earth, on this floating rock for as long as I can be, then I feel as if that just provides more opportunity for me to like really flourish and do all the things that I wish to do, which is a lot. So, and I'm inspired by guys like Floyd Mayweather, inspired by guys like LeBron James, who really have took that longevity to like next levels. Tom Brady being one of them as well. So for me, it was always about health and wellness. And then if I was uncomfortable, then that was just a byproduct of that. But I had no desire to sacrifice that uncomfortness to, you know, be comfortable and, you know, be stagnant and not achieve the things that I need to achieve in order to get to where I need to go. You know what I mean?
What did you go to school for?
I went to school for a couple of different things, but I was undecided, mainly just basketball. That was kind of like really my strong focus at the time, thinking that I was like going to go overseas and stuff like that. All that stuff was in the works. COVID really kind of shut down everything, but or maybe re-pivot everything, I should say. But mainly exercise science. I studied some sports management as well, but exercise science, being able to understand the body, understand how it works and stuff like that. That was always like my passion.
I mean, I wanted to introduce you as a wellness coach, but you said, no,
yeah,
pick something else. Okay. So, you know, advocate, I mean,
yes.
What you know is just, it's amazing. I get a lot of great conversations from you. You even talk about the bike, the walking in nature.
Yeah.
You know, I've done it a few times. Mm-hmm. I had a routine that I do 20, 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I became like a little girl. I was like, oh, it's too cold.
Yeah.
But what's the benefits of that? I mean, what do you, What do you think is like, the benefits of nature, of walking in nature?
I think there's a quote that, like, you know, to paraphrase from like Einstein, it's like, if you want to know like the secrets of the universe, like go outside of nature and stuff like that. So I think everything's so still, you know, you don't really hear any cars, any outside noises. You're really just with yourself and in your mind. You know, I feel as if it's very much like a mirror when you go into nature. So I feel as if just that stillness and that level of quiet, especially these days in this era and this century that we live in, is very much of a social media, technologically kind of like driven a little bit in terms of our senses and stuff like that. So being able to really get away from that, to tap in with ourselves, I feel as if there's no better place to do that than nature. So unless you just like, you know, sit in a room by yourself for like 30 minutes, which is also, you know, another great technique if you don't have access to nature, whatever reason. But if you don't have access to nature, I would like rethink your life. But I think besides that, yeah, it's just powerful. It's just still. And it just really allows me, at least, you know, I can't speak for anybody else, to really connect with your mind and connect with your spirit. And I feel as if that's what true health is all about.
I'm amazed because at such a young age, mm-hmm. like you speak like so profound about stuff. I mean,
I appreciate that.
You talked about even meditation. Mm-hmm. You meditate. I mean, at your age, I was just hopping around bars. I, you know, all this stuff is like, yeah. It's all crap. It's all whatever. I didn't discover this growth, self-development, or whatever the case you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But you talked about meditation also. And you do that, I think, a daily practice. Sometimes you said more than once, twice a day, or whatever the case
exactly.
is. Exactly. Why do you find meditation important to you?
I think meditation really came apart in my journey when I was very dedicated to basketball, and I was always so fascinated on why Michael Jordan was the way that he was. And it was always like the mind. And then I think as I dove into a lot of, I read this book, Sacred Hoops, which is one of my favorite books of all time by Phil Jackson. He really talks about, you know, he was like the Zen master, Phil Jackson, and how he really introduced that Zen philosophy and meditation into Michael Jordan, and how he kind of really added meditation in his life to then achieve, you know, the success that he has. So that was like the first time I heard about it. I saw how effective it was, and it really just created, you know, one of the greatest basketball players of all time, if not the greatest. So that's how we really got started. That was like maybe 2011, 2012. And I just introduced it into my life. You know, ever since then, I would meditate here and there. But what really changed and what really was like the catalyst for me was when I did a 10-day Vipassana silent meditation retreat. Wow. So you pretty much 10 days of pure silence. The day usually starts around like between 4 to 6 a.m. meditating for about 8 to 10 hours a day. And they have like many different facilities throughout the whole entire world. But the one that I went to was Dharma Dharma in Western Massachusetts. And I did that in, I think, 2019. Then I did my second one in 2020. And from that point on, I saw the effectiveness of meditation at a whole nother level. And I feel like I definitely had some out-of-body experiences and kind of some, what do they say? There's a word for it that I can't think of right now. But it was just mystical, some mystical experiences that really happened. And I think from that point on, I really saw how necessary meditation was and how that needed to be the base of my life. You know, I can do all these things that work from an outside perspective, you know, like cryo and all these different things that I have to find outside of myself, but being able to, you know, work within myself, you know, that, I mean, I haven't gotten sick for like the past 4 or 5 years. And I feel as if that's mainly due to a lot of different things that I do outside of myself, like cryo, infrared sauna, workout, all these different things. But the meditation, my level of peace, my level of tranquility and confidence and stillness that I have, all that definitely was, you know, born and prematured from my meditation practice.
Yeah. Well, I know you take care of yourself, and I know you eat well because I have a little, let me call it, vending machine hobby.
Yeah.
And gave you some chips sometimes. You're just like, oh, I don't really eat this, you know, and which I don't either.
Yeah.
But I was just like, so what is your, I mean, you do these routines, you have morning routines, evening routines.
Yeah.
How do you eat? How do you structure your day mm-hmm. to stay disciplined? Because there's a lot of distraction that goes on, you know, so you could easily go next door and grab a burrito or whatever the case is, but mm-hmm. you stay in good shape and you take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. How do you put all this together? And
I think really understanding on what works and what doesn't work. And I feel as if in my experience, the more times that I repetitively did the things that didn't work, I saw how much that affected my body more and more and more. It just became very, very clear that this isn't working. So if you keep doing it, then it's just like, what else are you expecting to get out of this kind of thing? So again, just kind of became a scientist for my own life and just observed and created these different hypotheses and, you know, studied it and just saw how it worked and what didn't work. And pretty much like a day in a life for me, at least since I day trade, usually the times that I day traded from like 2 to 5 in the morning, kind of wake up between those times. If I don't see the opportunity within then at least 7 to 10. But usually I'm fasted. My last day, my last meal of the day is probably like around 11 to 12 o'clock, just so I can really stay empty stomached pretty much throughout the whole entire night. That way I can have a good night's sleep, wake up early to trade, that kind of thing. But I really just am, you know, strict about that and really adding that into my life and keeping that intermittent fasting. And fasting, that's also something that I learned throughout my meditation practice and my spiritual practice as well. But that's a big thing that I include. Usually have like these little orange lights, like keep away like the bright lights and stuff like that, you know, to not affect like my circadian rhythm and stuff like that. Other benefits to it too, but I'm just blanking on those. But that's something that I add into my daily routine, just to avoid that screen time. And then really just stretching first thing in the morning, get the blood flow going, kind of get my mind right. And I'm usually just like still and kind of like, you know, my body isn't really flowing as I'm sleeping and stuff like that. So when I wake up, I like to just get things flowing, get things moving, get the body moving, get the mind moving. And then sometimes hop in a little cold shower, that kind of thing, or come here and get some cryo and then end the night, usually with the sauna session.
And then with sauna session?
Mm-hmm. Right before I go to bed.
What you said about the trader, you go to bed, you trade between 2 and 5 a.m.? Okay.
Yeah, is 2 to 5 a.m. and then usually about like 7 to 12 p.m.
Nice, nice. Mm-hmm. And it's been very lucrative for you.
Yeah, I'm in some trades right now, actually, that I'm waiting to see. But yeah.
Okay. All right, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's American dream, making money.
A little bit, man.
That's good.
That's a fact.
Yeah, all right, I like that. So I know your hours are different. How it is, so you probably don't have a morning routine. You just
exactly
kind of changes for you.
Exactly. Well said.
How do you transition from, let's say you transition from getting out of bed mm-hmm. to tackle on your day? So I know you have some time in between to get to the next step. What do you do? Is meditation the only thing that you do usually in the morning or whenever you get out of bed?
Exactly. Whenever I get out of bed, it's definitely meditation for sure. And then doing some stretches, like some deep kind of stretches. Usually I put some affirmations on, like any like prosperity, abundance kind of affirmation to really kind of get things programmed as I meditate and as I stretch. But usually I just like to do those two things, not to really also like to put the cell phone away. One thing I learned is like being able to like put the cell phone like on a desk or like somewhere far out of reach. That way sometimes, you know, I'm definitely victim of like waking up, checking my cell phone, seeing kind of what's going on. Sometimes I'll just like put it away, wake up, you know, take like a couple of deep breaths. Do a little stretch, do some meditation. If I'm feeling, you know, bold enough that day for whatever reason, do a little cold shower. If I'm just like really, really, really tired. But other than that, really just like to connect with myself and just check in and be like, how am I doing? What thoughts are kind of like arising as soon as I wake up? And then kind of go from there.
Yeah. You ever read the book Atomic Habits?
Yeah. Okay, James Clear. One of my favorite books of all time. Yes, sir.
So basically you pretty much make it invisible. If you can make it invisible, that's how you can break the bad habit.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly, okay. Man.
Well, I did a clip on that the other day. That's why I remembered last night. So
yeah.
So I'm getting there.
Right.
And I'm doing pretty good. I'm not holding the mic so the producer doesn't yell at me. Like that, you know, when I hold the mic.
It's progress, man.
Thanks for tuning in to this amazing interview. Join us next time where we continue our interview with Christian Wilkerson here on the Coach Cardozo Show, where we grow as a community. Come grow with us.